Another production from Solid Gold Podcast.
And there we go. You thought it was hot outside. Well, it's going to get even hotter right here, right now with the two main hot blondes. Am I allowed to call us that, Jen?
You are. You won a beauty competition.
Well, you could easily do so yourself, my darling heart. Anyway, so Jenny's sitting there on Teeb looking all still, like even though it's autumnal apparently over there. And she said, oh, she had to put on a jersey the other day. Well, of course, we've been sweltering up here down here in South Africa, up here in Johannesburg specifically, with temperatures like 31 and over, and we're still in spring. I mean, 23rd was the vernal equinox, okay, which means that was the beginning of spring. It's like we're in the middle of full summer already. It's completely crazy.
In fact, how's it now?
How's it, Jen?
I saw that the emergency services in Johannesburg or Gauteng were actually warning people to be careful this week. I think it's going to last till Friday, and it is, you know, crazy, crazy temperatures for you guys. Although I remember once getting really burnt in September in Joburg, where we weren't expecting it to be hot. So we were on a floaty in the pool all day, and I got third degree burns, and I couldn't sit on the loo. I was like so burnt.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness me. No, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, September is kind of capricious, but then most of us born in September are as well.
Oh, I love it.
Because if you think about it, sometimes you can get burnt and sometimes it snows. So who knows, you know? And as everybody says, who can trust the weather reports anyway? So we're just waiting for rain and not too soon. Because interestingly, and I know you're going to ask me a question, ask a question.
Okay. Because you mentioned water, rain. I've heard about this water shedding potentially.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Okay. In the same way that they throttle our use. I'm using the word euphemistically. They throttle our use of electricity. Let's just call a spade rolling blackouts. Okay.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the substations and the aging infrastructure, of course, are not able to keep up with the on off the whole time. So they're all falling apart, which is what happened in our area. And like a huge area was without power for like a whole day. I don't know how any of us are supposed to work. When it comes to water shedding, what's happening? And I'm open to correction on this one, but I think it has to do with the fact that there's no electricity to pump the water up into the reservoirs. So we got the message, I think yesterday or the day before, to say that water shedding is coming. We have had it before.
Who did you get the message from?
Oh, from like the city of Joburg, usually.
Okay,
but
so
I mean,
an official message.
Official message, but it's usually coming out from a councillor who actually knows what's happening, because who knows what's happening when it comes to anything to do with politics in this country anymore.
Your mayor got ousted.
Oh, let's not go there because it makes me very cross. So we're not going to talk about that. So water shedding, I think there's just not enough electricity. And then they throttle the water that which is going to you. So, I'm a water, as somebody in the Park View area once called me, oh, who died and made you the water czar? I said, actually, I'm the czarina, so get a grip. I have been advocating for people being a lot more careful with their water usage for years now. And in fact, in my house, is the same thing. And I said to my friends when the message came and she went to turn on her tap, and she's in Parkview, and I said, oh, you're going to have to actually start, like, you know, getting buckets of water, because you're going to have to flush your loo like that, because there won't be any water to flush. She just goes, oh, it's okay, I've got a swimming pool. And I'm thinking, well, I don't. What about the rest of us? It's all okay for you. But I mean, fortunately, I must admit that it doesn't really give me too much of a I take the 1 minute shower kind of thing. Okay. My kids are used to that as well.
If it's yellow, let it mellow. Yeah.
And, you know, we keep a bucket of water on standby just in case. And I fill the bucket up with the shower water as well. So when you're showering, you don't waste all the water. Because, I mean, why use good drinking water to flush your loo anyway?
Absolutely.
You know, use water that's recycled to flush the loo. It's all going to do the same thing ultimately. Yeah. So, yeah, it might be looking very bleak.
You should be water czarina. Things would cheer up very quickly.
Jenny, I should have stayed in politics all those years ago. I'd have had this country running like clockwork. I would have made the Swiss move over. Boy, this place would be working. I'd get rid of all the dead work. And I just love some of the ideas that people are coming up with to say, hey, government, why aren't you looking at this? But then, as I said, you know, government, you aren't fit to run a 100-meter race. Okay, so it's not really going to happen. But anyway, so I'm trying to find any little bit of humor in these things that I can. It is a bit difficult, but basically, there isn't anything you or I can do about it, especially when you're sitting in France, which is like, you know, you can't do a thing from there. We cannot do anything.
We can raise awareness.
We can, that's what I was going to say. We can raise awareness. Yeah. Please just take it easy on water wherever you are in the country, because if you run out of water, that's it. You're done.
I remember in Tanzania, they used to have big ships from Norway or somewhere that would bring water to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, they might have to tow an iceberg.
Yeah.
But, and then somebody was saying that they should get those ships from, where was it, from Turkey, that they should come and park off the coast here in South Africa. But I don't think that there's any money left to be able to pay them to be able to do that. Okay. Because they stole all the money.
But Mal, I thought of you this week because we did a story on this amazing South African expat who moved to Australia. And he was in Australia in his 70s, sales manager, turned 70, and they say, out you go, you know, you're too old and doddery now. And and he thought, no ways, I've still got so much in me. And he kind of had your sort of energy, you know, he walks a lot, he does Pilates a few times a week, etc. And so he took himself off to the technical college there, which is called TAFE, and studied farming and opened a macadamia farm, which is now so successful that he's just been featured on ABC this week in Australia. He's 91 years old now, and he says it is all about your attitude. And if you just think positively, you can change things. You know, you just have to switch off the negative thoughts and go on to positive.
It is a little difficult for a lot of people, though, when, you know, the news coming out of the country is so bad. The politics is absolutely ridiculous. The people are revolting. And, you know, you're living with under this continual threat of having no power and no water, which is actually a crime against humanity because it's a human right. It is enshrined in our constitution. Not that the constitution seems to actually make that much difference to many people, seeing as now that one of the parts of the constitution, they've overturned the whole thing about expropriation of land without compensation. So, I mean, it's been like, you know, sitting there and thinking, well, these things can really make you down. And people are leaving in droves. Absolutely just decided that's it, we're out of here. So some of us are staying and we will do everything we can and in our power to try and make things better. Let's put it that way. And yeah, if I was saying to people, if we can all come together with a positive mindset and actually say, what can we do to make a difference?
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about the government who are ruining the country. Sorry, running the country.
Well,
but
you can
we
vote.
Can actually, yes, but unfortunately, the majority of the country are still going to vote for them.
And a lot of people are moving to Cape Town as well. Just to say,
yeah.
I saw another one this morning. You know,
I've had 5 friends in the last month move to Cape Town,
yeah.
And I'm seriously thinking that might not be a bad idea.
And coming from you, that's a big thing.
Yeah, for me to move back to Cape Town, it would have to be like mega, because I'm very much a Joey's O. There we go.
And we've got an article today for you, which is, if you move to Cape Town, which is the 5 fantastic places to go
beaches.
And eat. No, we've done the beaches.
Eating place. Okay.
But this is that's for summer, except summer has arrived, it appears. But this is 5 places that are great, that are under 100 rand.
Wow.
I mean, that's incredible. I don't think you'd find one place in Europe like that. So, and it's got like Cape Malay food, fish and chips, like everything.
Oh, fritters. That sounds up my alley. I'm definitely going to have a look at that. Is it on Facebook as well?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, so what news do you have for expats this week?
Well, touching on the tragedy that happened on Monday afternoon, when a German tourist who had just arrived at the airport and was excitedly driving to the Kruger Park got shot and killed in a failed hijacking. Following on from that, just some advice for South Africans abroad who are wanting to, and for South Africans in SA, who are still wanting to go to the Kruger, because on the whole, of course, it is safe. And also to spread the word to other foreigners overseas. You know, it's our South African expats who can really fly the flag for us abroad and encourage tourism, which South Africa needs so desperately for finances, for job opportunities and everything. Is that Sanparks yesterday, and it is on SA People with all the details, but, you know, keep away from Numbi Gate. They were on the Numbi Road on the way to the gate. There have been quite a few incidents there this year. So it is a crime spot. Keep away.
That's near White River, hey?
Correct. Yeah. So rather head, this is what Sandpark says, rather head to Paul Kruger and Pabeni Gate.
Yeah.
They are both fully operational. They signposted and you can get to all the lodges through them. Sandpark also says really plan your trip ahead. Only make stops at designated areas like garages and service stations. Try to travel in convoys where you can as well. Okay.
It sounds like all the information that they were giving us whenever you wanted to go up to Zimbabwe in the late 70s and that people used to go through in convoy.
Yeah.
Do you remember that through to Bulawayo? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now talking
about.
And we
really are so sorry,
our condolences to those,
yes,
that family.
Yes.
It's absolutely heinous. I think that they really need to get on top of getting security sort of locked down in this country, apart from locking, yes, down the human beings, that all the people that live here, lock down the criminals.
but also, you know, on the sort of positive side, it's terrible that a tourist gets more care from the government than local people. You know, 67 people a day die in SA, but, you know, at the hands of somebody else. And so a lot of South Africans are saying, oh, this, you know, isn't fair kind of thing. However, I think just take the spotlight and use it because, you know, this is forcing the government to step up. The police minister's going to the scene today. You know, they have to address crime when it comes to the rest of the world and tourism. So, yeah hopefully good will come from this tragedy.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, it is, I mean, it's prime time for Kruger at the moment as well. I mean, with the people coming in, so they need to sort this out very quickly. I see you've got something here about the Black Mambas. I'm assuming you're not talking about the actual Isinyoka, which I would love to go and take and plop into, although we don't have Parliament anymore because they burnt it, didn't they? Oh, yeah. All right. So wherever they are meeting, go and take those Mambas and go and throw them, the Isinyoka, in. I think that would be quite an interesting thing to be a fly on the wall to watch.
But we're
talking about different Black Mambas,
yeah. But these Black Mambas have the same effect on poachers. So this is South Africa's first all-female anti-poaching unit. And they have made such a difference to reducing poaching. And two of them, plus the founder, are in London this week. So on Thursday evening, if you're anywhere near South Africa House, there is a free event, wonderful event, where they'll be announcing some exciting news about a new anti-poaching unit. Plus, you can meet them, chat to them, and just find out what is going on with the war against rhino poaching in South Africa.
Okay, fantastic. Well done to them. I think they're absolutely brilliant. Anybody who does any of that is fabulous. And then, I don't know, did you put it up yet? Sorry, I haven't. I've had no power because we had not only load shedding but a power outage and no internet connectivity. I've been feeling that bit of internet-less listlessness. Okay, so because, I don't know, something happened with the fiber and so I've just been sitting there not being able to actually access very much at all.
But it's fixed now.
My brother... Yeah, no, fortunately, yeah, finally. Right. There are some good people out there, and also they don't want me nagging them as much as I do. My brother sent me through the video of Sia Kolisi with the toast to Roger Federer for Moët,
yes,
with that whole toasting. Oh, that's beautiful. I loved that. I just thought it was absolutely fabulous.
So beautiful. And so for anybody else anywhere in the world, they can join too. Just do a toast to Roger and then Moët will donate to the Roger Federer Foundation for everybody that does this toast to Roger.
Toast to Roger. Well done on a great career. And I'm so happy that one of your family is South African.
There you go. Yeah, perfect. And then post it to Instagram, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. So is that information all on there on the sapeople.com?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Mal, congratulations on pronouncing Moet correctly, because
yes, Moet.
Yeah.
So, most of us will just say Mut.
Yeah. Oh no, that's true. Mut like but. But no, a lot of people think that that they must pronounce it the French way and go Moe.
Moe.
But meanwhile, the guy, the family.
It's actually Moet.
Yeah, are originally from Holland, from the Netherlands. Yeah.
No, I know. I like to find out the right pronunciation. It's like if people call me Melanie. Nee, that's nee, bru. Jij moet dit lekker zijn, nee.
For over 30 years, we've been uncovering high-level corruption, holding crooks accountable, and meeting a few inspiring and intriguing characters along the way. Now, join us as we take a step in a new direction. With Carte Blanche, the podcast. Unique stories, unique perspectives. With new episodes uploaded throughout the week, available anytime, anywhere. That's Carte Blanche, the podcast. Find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts.
Okay, so expat South Africans, of course, the one that has really hit the headlines this week with all kinds of people saying all kinds of things, that he's done his time after 7 years on the late night show, whatever the show was called.
The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Yes.
With Trevor Noah leaving it.
Yes.
Why has he left it?
So, yeah, a lot of people are saying, oh, because the figures dropped so drastically. But I think that they, you know, if they would just read, for instance, our article on SA People, the figures dropped very similarly, about 60%, I think, which is a lot, for almost all late night hosts. So it's just what has happened in the last few years. I think, you know, because of the pandemic and, you know, the late shows not being live, you know, with real people in studio, it affected everybody. And plus people are watching on YouTube and, you know, Trevor has over 10 million people on YouTube. But yes, less than a million were actually watching the show. However, he said that what happened is on his 7-year anniversary, and we do have the video of him saying this on the site, on the 7-year anniversary, which was a few days ago, his producer said to him, hey, it's your 7-year anniversary today. And it sort of got him thinking, and he got the seven-year itch. Yeah, exactly. He went to sleep that night, woke up in the morning, and he thought, yep, no, 7-year itch. And he really misses the stand-up comedy. So he's getting back on that. And in fact, he's going to be in South Africa pretty soon doing stand-up.
Well, I'm going to have to make sure that my one daughter is still stuck up in the bush and not back here, because otherwise I have to go searching for tickets. She absolutely adores Trevor.
Oh, that's
she thinks
so
he's
good.
She says, he's my biggest fan. I think she meant to say idol, but it was really lovely.
You know what I find really upsetting with all the commenters on social media is it's like these famous South Africans, Charlize Theron, Trevor, Elon Musk, you know, they can do one thing, just one thing, and then they are just evil and hated, and, you know, the stuff that comes out of people's mouths, it's just...
Oh, no, what comes out of their fingers when they type up, the keyboard warriors.
Yes.
I'm like, bring yourself to my face. Let's have the talk about this in real life.
Exactly. Yeah. Both Trevor and Charlize. I mean, Charlize, most of the stuff that's said about her was totally fabricated. It was a photoshopped picture that went viral and, you know, ruined her reputation for many South Africans. And the thing is that both of them have done so much for South Africa. Both of them have foundations that raise so much money to help education, health, etc., for South African children. So,
Jenny,
and we should be
the only
proud
thing you
of
can
them.
Do is feel sorry for these people, because they obviously don't have a life.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. Okay. And I mean, they would never, ever stand up and say things like that to people's faces. So let them hide in their anonymity and spew their filth and be unhappy people, because you know what? That's all they have.
Yeah.
Literally, that's all they have.
No,
so I feel
sad.
Very, very dreadfully sorry for them. And if I had to believe some of the stuff I heard about myself over the years, I mean, I'd have had a completely different life.
It's so true.
Do you remember some of the stuff? I mean, it was like for years.
I know.
I mean,
that I'm friends with you is just, I deserve a badge.
Love it. Okay. Well, you mentioned Elon Musk. Is he still going to try and buy Twitter, or what's happening?
Yeah. So it's been a bit of a yo-yo, and they were meant to be going to court on the 7th, which I think is Friday. And then this week he sent them a letter saying, actually, he would like to proceed with the purchase, because what would happen is if they went to court and Twitter won, he would have to pay anyway. So this way now he's paying, he gets to own Twitter or take it private. The banks, I think, are going to lose quite a bit. And Elon says it's, you know, one of his main ambitions is to create this app, and it's the everything app, and it's going to be called X. And he says by buying Twitter, he can do it 3 to 5 years quicker. So that's his plan.
I don't go onto Twitter unless I have to actually send a WhatsApp to City Power Johannesburg. That's it.
You mean a message?
Literally.
Not a WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm a tweet. A tweet. Yeah. I have to, you see, I'm a Twitter. I don't remember these things. Yeah.
But I do agree with Elon. There really are too many bots. And, you know, what he was waiting for was he was asking them, tell us exactly how many bots you have. And I think it is a huge amount. I think I've told you, you know, every day we get new followers that have just started that day, and they have zero followers themselves, and there's zero other people they're following. You know, I don't think it's a real human.
I go and check out everybody's site, and usually if it is that situation where they've only just joined and they only have, like, they've got hardly any followers or whatever, or I see their Forex trading, cyber trading, they get deleted immediately.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so let's get on to some local good news. I think we could have a little sparkle in our lives right now.
Okay, well, staying with good things like Moet and that is the International Wine and Spirits Competitions Award were this last week, and South Africa won for both the Red Wine Producer of the Year and the White Wine Producer. So that's pretty awesome. For the champagne, it was a French champagne. So the red wine is Canon Corp, and the white wine is Jordan Wine Estates, which is a husband and wife team. So
I saw you got there the white, but you spelt wine with an H. I'm just thinking, all of those Karens sitting in the northern suburbs, vining away. Would you like some cheese with that wine? Lordy. Okay, sorry.
Brilliant.
Okay, and I saw now finally, I heard the news on my way here this morning about South Africa beating India by 49 runs in the third and final 2020 match.
Yeah.
Even though they did lose the series. But, you know, go out with a bang.
Yeah. Yeah. So well done to them. And also, I did forget to note it, but Andy Burkett, a South African canoer, he just won gold at the Canoe Marathon World Champs in Portugal.
So, okay.
Yeah.
How many times has he done the doozy, though? That's what I'd like to know. Find it out. We want to find out if he's under doozy. I would love to do the doozy, but it's hardcore and it's hot. You think Joburg is hot at the moment? You go down into the doozy when the marathon is on. My goodness, it's like 90% humidity, 40 degrees heat. Oh, you just stand there with water dripping off your fingertips. It's hectic.
You know, I once went to the doozy because it was obviously near me, and I must have been about 18, 19. I was at university, and this man who was in it asked me to look after his baby. His wife would have died. I had never held a baby in my life. And I fed this baby grapes. I had no idea. And the baby pooed out solid grapes. Really dangerous. It's really dangerous. You know that you can choke. I mean, a kid can choke on grapes.
Yeah. I just remember my godson when he was a baby. He's now like 20-something. He was terrified of grapes. He used to terrorize. He used to take the grape and go, ooh, look what's coming towards you. And he'd be shrieking.
I wonder if he drinks wine, because at least they crush.
I don't think, you know. And he's scared of bananas. Anyway, that's, yeah, it's just a thing. Generally, boys have that issue. Okay, so let's leave that one alone. The only thing we want to have to do with what you want to do with grapes, of course, is wine. Although, My goodness, my friend brought me, because I said we're not eating cake, we don't eat any of those things. And she knows that these grapes called candy, which you can get at one of our stores here. And it's a kind of, it tastes a bit like a Hanaport grape, but it tastes like sweeties. Oh, I'm sure it's just nice. Pure sugar, but you know, it's still one of your five a day.
Yeah.
And it's got all those wonderful things in them that actually kind of are good for your body. But home, I've never tasted anything like this in my life before. It is just the most divine. Yeah. I think they're from the Cape, but oh my goodness me, what a grape.
We're going to have to find out exactly what it's called and where we can get it.
It's called candy.
If it's being exported.
I'll find out where it comes from, but it's called candy. I'll find out for you. Shame, man. You know, we had the Comrades not too long ago. Did you see that the Comrades legend, Samuel Shabalala, passed away at 65 this week? And that's so sad.
Yes, I love the tributes, though. I mean, he really made a difference. He was the first black athlete to win the Comrades. And they say, you know, thanks to him, there were just hundreds and thousands of people who started running, who got fit because he was such an inspiration.
So, it's been amazing to see all of the tributes pouring in from people all over.
You know,
you would have some people might have thought, oh, no, he's a kind of a forgotten hero. But, makes your heart feel
warm.
Oh, it makes your heart feel warm. Yes, yes.
Yes.
Makes your heart glad.
Yeah, he was still doing a lot of good things. I think in his community where he had grown up himself, he had like campaigns to get the local kids running and all that.
Talking about communities and just going back a bit to where we were talking about the German tourist.
Yeah.
He was on his way to a game lodge.
A lodge, actually, yeah, speaking community. I mean, that's where it's so important that the criminals just stop, is that this lodge is a community-owned lodge where he was on his way to, and it employs 200 people from the community, which is one of the strongest anti-poaching measures you can do, because if the community can benefit with jobs and it's sustainable, they're getting a salary every month. You know, poaching, you get money one off, you're putting your life at risk. Actually working and getting a relationship with the animals and nature is just, you know, immeasurable, the value there. And so that's, you know, really sad if tourists don't want to go to places like that anymore. So
Yeah, we need to get that going. Okay, and then also talking about like families and communities, what is this? I've missed this story. As I said, I haven't been online all that much. About the Limpopo families raising money to drill their own boreholes?
Yes, it's about, I can't remember now if it's 30 or 300 families who basically have not been getting water from the municipality since 2008 or something. Which is around about when Zuma took over, coincidentally or not. And so they finally gave up and decided to do it themselves. And they all put in what they could, and they managed to raise 200,000 to drill their own boreholes. They have completed two of them. They do need a little help to finish the third. Ground Up got involved and contacted the municipality, who promised that they were going in last week, but by Monday they still hadn't gone in. But no, these families have now at least got water.
You've got to do it yourself. I mean, the water scarcity of water has been a huge issue for so many people, not just in Limpopo and now in the cities, but I remember when we went, Mpumalanga's got major issues as well. We went back in, I think it was 1988. Well, it might have been 85. I'm trying to remember. It was in those days of the beauty pageant days when all of the beauty pageant girls were getting involved. And we got taken by World Vision. Do you remember World Vision that happened in South Africa?
Yeah.
With Mallory, I can't remember his surname, but John Savage, the actor, used to come out to South Africa because he was one of the patrons of World Vision.
Yeah.
And we went to a place called Falvater. And they hadn't had water there for I don't know how long. And World Vision was actually working together with the community to make sure that Falvata got water. And it did work because now apparently they do have water, whether it was through boreholes or whatever. But, I mean, it's a basic human right.
Yeah.
Okay, so why the governments and the municipalities are not actually taking more care of this and looking after their people, I don't know.
But because they don't make money from it, perhaps?
Well, because it takes money out of their pockets, perhaps.
Yeah.
I think that, unfortunately, what we're going to have to do is everybody in the community, we can't just sit there and say, well, there's nothing we can do. As we were saying earlier, get with the program and start doing what you can.
Yeah.
And that's all. Okay, so incident, we talked last week about Blood Psalms. So I did say I was going to watch it, and
did
yes,
you?
I did.
Oh.
I watched the first episode, yeah, but then I had no more power. So, I mean, literally, I mean, the inverter, everybody's inverters went for a loop. I don't have one. My UPS stopped working. So I didn't get to watch much of it. So I just watched the one. Beautifully shot.
Oh,
my goodness.
Amazing.
It is absolutely exquisitely shot. I really love what they've done there. So I'm going to watch the rest of it as well.
Fantastic.
You know, you've got to watch more than just one. And
yes.
I see that you, Stein Heist.
Yeah,
is coming up.
Yeah, another one that I really think everyone should watch, and you can watch it if you're overseas as well, if you've got Showmax. Mm. You know, about South Africa's biggest corruption ever, corporation corruption.
Yes.
And then also Kim Engelbrecht.
Yes.
And Reika, except overseas it's called something different, but Reika and Kim Engelbrecht, who Mel and I interviewed on this podcast, are both up for Emmys, International Emmy Awards. Isn't that amazing?
Brilliant. Absolutely.
So, yeah,
fabulous.
Her obviously for Best Actress. So that's really exciting.
Go Kim, yay!
So if you're in South Africa, you can watch Reika as well. And then, you know how much I loved White Lotus?
Yes, it was fantastic.
Well, you know, season two is coming up at the end of October. And this time, it's not Hawaii, it's Sicily.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of moving to Sicily. My brother and I have been discussing it.
Oh, really? Oh, I'd love it if you were there. Sort of around the corner and down the boot.
Down the boot a little bit, we're looking at that. I'm not saying when. We've still got a lot of work to do here first.
Yeah, you can buy whole villages there for
yes,
if one of those
that's
places.
What I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and buy a village. There we go.
For R100,000.
And go and teach people. That's what I can do.
Oh, right, so what have you got coming up? Teacher's Day today, by the way.
Oh, well, we were talking about this. I was talking to my kids and saying, you know what? Teachers deserve so much more than they're given, regardless of where they are in the world. Thank you to all the teachers, and thank you for putting up with our children's nonsense.
Teachers,
that is the most important thing.
Officers and
nurses.
And nurses should all be paid so much more. The most valuable jobs. It's kind of crazy.
I think I need to take over the physical fitness training for the police officers, though. I think that would be a good idea, seeing as that was going to be part of my portfolio in 1994, according to the Mail and Guardian, when they were looking at all of the celebrity nominees for politics. They said, Melanie's going to make exercising compulsory for everybody under the age of 65 and probably over too. And I thought, most of the time you'd find me curled up with a good book and a bottle of tequila. But anyway, that's fine. We can do that too. Anyway, what have you got coming up on SA People next week?
And I've got to just quickly say a shout out to the French police officers who don't need any extra training. They seriously are hot. Like, I love having to go to the police station.
Oh, sorry, officer, please arrest me.
So coming up, last night they announced the top 50 world's best bars. And unfortunately, there were no South African bars in that top 50. However, in the 51 to 100, there are four bars. And so we've got that coming up. And there's one particularly that I think that you would love. It's in Cape Town, so when you one day move there. And it is in a motorbike store. But it's also a coffee shop, some men's
wear. Is it in near Gardens?
I wouldn't know. I can tell you what it's called. A House of Machines.
Ooh, I like machines. Yeah. I'm definitely going to go down and pay brother a visit. So I'll pop in there. I'll say, Stu, we have to go to the House of Machines. He knows when I get into a car or a bike shop, then there's all kinds of things happening.
Divine. And then there's also one in Joburg, actually. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's Sin Plus Tax Bar. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
It's really cool. It's at a pizza place called Coalition, and then you go to this metal door, and you have to knock a particular tune to get in.
Okay, so you're gonna have some rhythm going. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look forward to that with glee. And until then, of course, everybody can go on to sapeople.com or onto the Facebook page and check out what the big stories are. And don't forget to share your stories with us too. We love hearing from people at home and abroad. Jenny, we'll catch up with you again next week. Take good care of yourself. Don't spend too much time on the beach.
Thank you, Mel. Right. Lots of love. See ya. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.